Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor at that site, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick. Looking pretty grim, Mason.
Oh, I'm feeling rough, mate. I'm feeling real rough, I tell you what. This is not going to be a good one.
What's the...
Or the best one. Maybe it'll be the best episode.
It could be, yeah. You brought your A-game, right?
I brought this Gatorade, is what I brought, and some painkillers. That's what I... chiefly brought.
Normally it's me who turns up grim. I'm feeling pretty good about myself at the moment.
I see that. You're feeling smug, certainly. Well, the comedy festival's on and I've been out late.
I heard
yes,
a rumour
yes.
in the rumour mill that you met one of our listeners in real life, in real person.
I met a friend of the show, Dan Haysom, who came to our late night awesome. Board game slumber party and was a super nice guy.
Nice. Good
yeah,
to hear.
Yeah, good.
Did he ask about me?
No, he didn't mention you at all.
What?
Yeah, no.
I'm the host. Co-host?
Of what?
This podcast?
What? Oh, I just saw the microphone. Is that what we've been doing?
So, yeah, that's pretty cool, eh? First listener that you met. I didn't meet him, but yeah, that's really awesome.
It was real fun, yeah.
Our middling success is starting to pay off, Mason.
Boy, is it. Interactions.
Yes.
Verbal exchanges. Dialogue.
Did you high five?
No, we didn't.
Oh, well.
If you're listening, just find me in the street and high-five me. It'll be fine.
Done and done.
Pretty great.
All right, Mason. Should we get straight into the news?
I'd love to get into the news.
Because we've got a big week for Captain American stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get to that.
Great.
But as always, news is important also.
Fantastic.
Current events.
What I'm going to do is, while you speak, I'm going to just close my eyes and contemplate my own mortality. And then you can, and then just snap when you finish talking. And
gotcha.
I'll respond.
Gotcha. Good, good, good.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now you must have seen the TMNT trailer.
I did see it, yes.
Now, there's a lot of people hating on this trailer, Mason.
Huh.
I mean, no, that's not fair to say. A lot of people are like, it's mixed to mixed positive, I would say, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, one of the big points of contention is Michelangelo in particular has a weird baby Shrek head.
Uh-huh, sure.
You know, he takes his mask off and whatever, and he's got that kind of weird face. There's a few mock-ups of that where they put the Shrek ears on him, and he looks... He does look a lot like Shrek.
Do you think maybe they've bought the 3D model from DreamWorks?
You never know.
And, like, through some sort of shady back channel, like...
It's
like
entirely
people
possible.
Met in an alley
yeah.
and just sort of traded a briefcase with a USB stick in it.
Wouldn't surprise me. Mm. Holy weird, am I right?
That's... Yeah.
Yeah.
You're telling me.
There's also the other big point of contention is that they've got lips, like human lips.
Uh-huh, sure.
I didn't even notice that until someone pointed it out, but when I looked at it, it is kind of weird, yeah. I mean, the whole thing's weird.
I guess the whole thing is weird, but there's really, in the real world, there's very little precedent for transforming a turtle into a humanoid creature. Like, there's almost none of that in nature. So who's to say what they would look like?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. Just get used to it.
Fair point.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Well, the other point of contention, and I'm inclined to agree with this, Mason,
uh-huh.
and I never disagree with anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, I like to just agree. I'm an agreeable guy.
I'm
a yes man. Nobody's offside in my book, Mason.
Correct.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Paulius Saltoukis.
Some guy who is involved somehow with the production of the film.
No, he's the guy who's animated him before.
Okay, right.
I'm pretty
good.
Sure I got his name right the first time and I've botched it this time.
Great.
Either way. But he's like, his issue with it, and I'm inclined to agree, was they're enormous. Like, the turtles aren't supposed to be that big, are they? Or they are? Because they tower over April O'Neil, and they're built. But aren't they supposed to be, like, stealthy ninja guys?
Yeah, they've changed form a lot. They were kind of frog-like. Like, in the very first appearances, like the Eastman and Laird, the old Mirage comics, they were quite froggy.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I like this. They're turtles. They should be kind of tank-like.
Sure, fair point. Yeah, yeah. That actually makes sense.
How about the bit where he hits the Hummer?
Yeah.
He's rolling down the hill and he hits the Hummer with his shell and it just smashes it.
How
good was that?
I didn't love it. I thought the CGI and the Hummer was a bit
little cheap?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I just feel like... And because of stuff like
they
that,
they probably bought the CGI from Transformers.
Sure, they
did. They had a Hummer character, and they're like, "Nah, who cares? We don't need it.
Smash it."
Yeah.
But I feel like that whole scene where they're sliding down the hill—that's clearly all CGI.
Right.
And it just took me right out of that minute and a half trailer. You know.
I'm okay with all of it, strangely.
Okay.
Because it's the origins of the Ninja Turtles and a lot of the stuff they've been through. Some of the stuff.
Yeah.
They've been through.
Sure. It's a roller coaster of emotions.
Well, it's a roller coaster of emotions, but also it's been up and down and all over the place. There's the Mirage Comics origin. There's the cartoon origin. There's several different cartoons origin.
Yeah,
and there's the movie origin.
The CGI.
Switch it around a bit.
Yeah, sure.
It's not that precious.
No, fair point.
It started as like a Daredevil parody with Turtles.
Yeah.
Don't take it too seriously. It's fine. Do whatever you want with it.
Well, look, I think Ninja Turtles was the first thing. Oh, no, probably second thing. First being Voltron.
Yeah.
That I was really, really into when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And even though there are all these changes, I'm with you. I'm not really that fussed.
Yeah.
Like, if this movie completely tanks, I don't care.
Yeah. When I was... Yeah, you know what? Ninja Turtles was probably one of the things that I was most into when I was a kid. It was Transformers and then Ninja Turtles. And I remember there was an Archie comics... adaptation of the cartoon.
Just another weird Archie comic crossover.
No, but it was like I'd seen the Mirage comics and I never really read it, but then the Archie comics version came out, which was an adaptation of the cartoon.
Okay.
And it was kind of more kid friendly. And I was like, oh, this is great, whatever. And the cartoon hadn't come out.
Yeah.
And I went to Kmart and there were like Ninja Turtle figures for like $4 or whatever. And I was like to my mum and my dad and my grandparents, I'm like, can you get me some of them Ninja Turtles? Pick me up. And they're like, no, they're so ugly. Why would you want those Ninja Turtles? I'm like, this is... Like, I was little. I was like 5 or whatever. I'm like, this is the next big thing. This is it. We're going to get this. And then, like, 2 days later, the Ninja Turtles cartoon came out, and they skyrocketed in price.
You couldn't get a Ninja Turtle figure to save yourself.
Exactly.
Do you remember there was, like, a good...
That's my personal vendetta.
Yeah.
My family, who raised me.
But I remember...
I can't have been 5. I would have been, like, 10. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was maybe a year that I could not get a Ninja Turtle figure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, fucking boohoo, first world problems,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They were like gold, though.
But yeah. I remember, like, there were, like, rumors, like, oh, Kmart's got some, so that everybody would rush down to Kmart to see if they were there, and then you get there, and it's just like...
It was like Mondo Gecko.
Yeah, and a Splinter,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the other thing that people take issue with, though...
Is it...
It's the violence.
Is it Megan Fox?
Yeah, no, I think people have kind of calmed down on that. The thing about
people hated Megan Fox for a while.
I'm okay with Megan Fox.
Well, like, there's no problem with Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, I hate...
What a bitch.
Yeah, what a bitch. What a slut. And I'm like, is she? Like, she's been married to one guy for like 10 years. What are you even talking about? It's just she's pretty, but in that kind of like vampy kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
And people don't trust that for some reason.
I think that's probably it. Yeah, well, have you seen in This Is 40? She's really good in that as
well. Yeah.
She's quite funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't understand the hate for it, but... And she's not the worst actress in the world, is she? I mean, she's not. She's no Meryl Streep.
Mm, yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
She's
fine. She's not even a Glenn Close. She's not even close to a Glenn Close.
But yeah, in the trailer, it's mentioned that Shredder and April's father are somehow linked. They were building to create something, and it's assumed that either they're talking about the Foot Clan, who are a paramilitary group or
uh-huh,
something,
okay.
Or the Ninja Turtles, so that April's father had a hand in this.
That's fine.
Yeah. You're okay with it?
That's fine.
What about this?
Yes.
Do you think a regular human 45-year-old male white guy...
Yeah, William Fichtner.
Fichtner. Don't you think he'd get absolutely crushed by 4 giant turtles?
Yeah, totally.
Just beat him savagely to death.
What do you reckon? There's probably sweet Shredder armor in it.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, you can see it in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what? It might be as well. He might be an Ultron. You know the Ultron.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe he, because there people are saying because he's not the Japanese Shredder. That's another big point of contention,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I can understand. I guess it's a weird origin swap. But Maybe he's taken on this different human body, uh-huh. an Ultron.
It's no all white Akira, certainly, but there's issues. Yeah, absolutely. It's no Noah.
Yeah, which is doing really well apparently.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a very, like, people complained about that, and I'm like, what are you even talking about? But then I saw the poster.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is a very whitewashed Bible story.
Well, apparently it's
no, not one Middle Eastern.
Oh,
guy.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I, you know what? There probably is. They're probably bad guys.
Oh. Ooh.
So yeah. So all in all, let's just say that it's fine, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be that good, considering that the director's doesn't have a great track record.
What was the other thing that he did?
Darkness Falls, Battle LA.
Oh, yeah, that's dull.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
No, you're right. I'm looking forward to it still.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. We'll see.
It's 90 minutes out of your life.
That's right.
Plus trailers. Plus $20 for popcorn and that.
Yeah. I don't get popcorn.
I do.
Not a fan.
I embrace the movie going experience now because I see so few films at the cinema.
Yeah.
That I've got a big popcorn.
I have coat. Trouble.
Makes it very tense, as you know, because I always need to pee.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I don't. If there's a movie that I'm really into, I won't drink for like 2 hours before.
Good idea.
Which is not healthy.
Uh huh, sure.
But I do it.
You just line your mouth with salt. So you don't. Doesn't even make sense.
Frank Darabont. Mason. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with him?
The Walking Dead guy.
Yeah, Walking Dead
the
guy.
Assorted, well, he was kicked, the assorted but... Stephen King project.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
The Mist. Did he do
he
The
did
Mist?
The Mist, yeah.
Can we talk about The Mist for a minute?
Sure, I love The Mist.
Do you?
You know what I do. We saw it together.
Yeah, the nonsensical... Well, it's not...
It's great because it's nonsensical.
That is a dark move for a Hollywood film.
Yeah.
That ending.
Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen it. They go through this whole movie. They survive in a supermarket being attacked by creatures from another dimension. And then, what's his name, the actor?
Thomas Jane. The Punisher's Thomas Jane.
Yeah, these horrific creatures that are ripping people apart.
And then at the end, it's him and the pretty middle-aged lady love interest.
Yeah.
And, like, their child. Yeah. Her child.
Yeah.
And they're trying to escape this mist that's covered the whole town and maybe the whole world, we don't know. And they're driving and the car runs out of fuel.
Yeah.
And they're sort of stuck at the side of the road and they hear... noises from behind them, like these horrible monsters or whatever that they, you know, unimaginable horrors. And Thomas Jane has a gun with two bullets.
Three. There's four people in the car. There's an old person in there
as well.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
100%.
Okay then, cool. Yeah. Anyway, so he's one bullet shy of a full house, as we say. And then it cuts to the outside of the car. You hear a series of gunshots. And then it cuts back, and it's just Tom Jane by himself, surrounded by corpses, going, what have I done? And then he gets out of the car, and the noises keep getting louder. He gets out of the car to face his certain fate, and then it turns out to be the army who've rolled in, like the cavalry has arrived.
Yeah, as the mist rolls away.
Like it just ends.
Because I think the mist, they were following the mist. As they were driving with the mist.
Right, yeah.
So, it's crazy dark. Didn't expect it.
No.
Loved it.
Anyway, Frank Darabont's up to something, which he clearly cannot top because he shot that kid that time.
That's true, yeah, yeah. Well, they're saying that Latina Review have said Frank Darabont. They've broken a lot of stuff in the past. People crap on them, but they probably get more right than they do wrong with their rumors. But then he's pitched an idea for a new Indiana Jones movie. But Frank Darabont himself had come out and said it's completely untrue.
Okay.
That being said, Latino Review, they got the Khan thing right. You know, when they're like, Khan's the villain of Star Trek Into Darkness. And J.J. Abrams was like, you're a liar!
Yep.
Turns out that J.J. Abrams was yet again the liar.
Wow.
What a shock.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, what do you think of that? Maybe a Frank Darabont? Possibly not.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, the only Indiana Jones rumor, Mason.
Okay.
You're in luck.
I love it. Okay.
They're talking about recasting Indiana Jones. Recasting it, rebooting it.
They're constantly talking about that, though, aren't they? We're constantly talking about it in our real lives.
They say that... this same source saying that Bradley Cooper is being courted for the role.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yes, okay.
Don't you reckon he'd be a good choice?
Yeah, okay. He's charming. Yeah,
absolutely.
He looks good in a suit.
He does.
Like first couple of scenes of Hangover style.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got
little vest.
He's got sweet hair.
Yeah, sweet hair. Good. So yeah, nice.
I think I didn't even consider him for the role. I think he'd be really, really great. And I think it's got to the point where let's face it, Harrison Ford is great as you and whatever, whatever. Maybe it's time to recast. And I know it's an iconic role and whatever, but I'd be happy for them to put somebody else in the role. Especially considering now you have to set them in like the 50s or the 60s or whatever. And it's not the same. Pre-war Nazi Germany or whatever he gets up to, Indiana Jones, is infinitely better than kind of weird 50s paranoia Russian whatever that was. You know what I mean?
Why can't we set more in the 40s?
That's what I'm saying. So if you've got someone like Bradley Cooper, you can do that.
Yeah, a youngin.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm all for it.
Because there's a lot of gaps in that.
There's a lot of gaps.
There's a lot of non-canonical tie-in novels.
Yeah,
that feature a lot of adventures he was in between all the other ones.
A lot of video games.
Yeah.
There was one on the PS2 called Something in the Emperor's Tomb or something.
Yep, I remember that one.
I played the shit out of it.
How'd that go?
Really good. One button controlled his left fist, one button controlled his right fist.
Oh.
That was the best combat in a game before Batman Arkham Origins Batman Arkham, whatever.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Huh.
Great game. Don't go back. It's not actually.
Was there so it was one button for left fist, one button for right fist.
Yeah, and you could pick up a shovel.
And then, like, did you have an additional whip peripheral?
Yep.
For a whip for whipping?
Yep.
You plugged in the whip.
Yep.
And then you whipped it around your lounge room. Whipping stuff.
You fight a giant crocodile.
Ooh.
There's a weird supernatural bit at the end.
Ooh.
The voice guy was dead on. You can pick up a table leg. Your hat comes off, and then you can pick up your hat.
Oh,
what if you
leave your hat?
Yeah, it appears back on your head.
Oh, okay, that's weird.
That'd be funny if you lose your hat the first 5 minutes, and then you're hatless for the rest of the game.
And then you get to the end, and it's like, sorry, the Last Crusade never happened because you left your hat. And that was kind of essential, so... Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, look, Mason.
Anyway, heaps of time for more Indiana Jones.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, why not squeeze out one more Harrison Ford one if you've got the, if you've got the right script or whatever.
Yeah.
And if he, wakes up.
Yeah, yeah.
Then get him out there.
How about like a Depression era Indiana Jones one? He's just whipping carny folk. He's just whipping bankers. You know?
He's teaching all sorts of lessons.
He's whipping gold bullion out of people out of fat cats' hands,
I would love that.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, look forward to that, Mason, in whatever year that is.
Yeah.
If it ever happens. Prometheus sequel talk.
Oh, sure, okay.
Are you a fan of the original Prometheus movie?
No. But I'm sort of a fan of most of the stuff the cast has been in.
Yeah, me too. It's a weird combination. I just did a video on it. Oh, I mentioned the video because I say that I flat out hate it, and I don't flat out hate it.
Uh-huh.
But there's so many weird missteps in that movie.
Yeah,
visually it's amazing. The cast is amazing. The performances are amazing. The atmosphere is amazing.
The thing where the spaceship flips over, amazing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they don't run sideways.
Yes, that is amazing. That's an amazing choice that you make at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
But everything else, like. The plots and the twists and the use of the aliens in it. There's a really good not autopsy, the scene where she gets the thing pulled out of her. Like, that's genuinely horrific.
Yeah.
But most of the other stuff is just a nonsensical crap fest.
Yes,
and I am baffled that got as far as it did without somebody saying, hang on a minute, this is mostly nonsense.
Mm.
Especially considering the aliens left messages for people to come and visit this place, only for them to get there and then decide to kill everybody at the last minute.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? And I know there's probably a compendium or whatever that explains
sure,
it.
Sure, absolutely.
And whatever, but I don't want to do that.
No.
Explain it to me in your movie.
Yeah. That's why I hate Donnie Darko. We've had this conversation.
Yes, yeah.
I don't want to go to your website. Especially back when Donnie Darko came out and websites were awful.
Do you remember your first interaction with the internet?
If it wasn't porno, then... I don't know what the deal was, but...
I remember mine. I can tell you if you want.
Okay,
I think I was at primary school and some guys came in to show off the internet.
Oh.
And they were like, you love movies, right, kids? And we're like, I guess so.
I mean, we kind of hate everything at this age, but sure. We're surly.
And they're like, do you want to see the website for the Independence Day movie starring your Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and whatever?
Yeah.
And everyone's like... You're kidding, right? He's like, you can get photos of behind the scenes and whatever. And everyone's like freaking out because they're like, this is going to be amazing. So they load this web page and it just jams immediately.
Right.
It loads like a quarter of a picture of a ship.
Oh, I remember
and then,
that.
And then they're like, it's not working. And I'm like, this is the worst invention that anybody has ever made.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on. They should have waited till the internet was really, really good.
Yeah.
They should have waited till 2011 and then released the
internet.
That's
right, yeah.
That's what I think.
Uh-huh.
So that was my first internet experience.
Sounds
boy,
really good.
What a memory.
Mm. Where are we going with this?
Prometheus 2.
Oh, yeah.
Has been announced. Ripley Scott is back.
Ridley Scott. Now, that's a perfectly acceptable mistake to make in the Aliens franchise.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott is back as director. He's a good director. I think if that script had been tight, mm-hmm. that would have been a much better movie, obviously, because he knows how to direct. Uh-huh. He is a good director.
Yep.
But yeah, Damon Lindelof, who wrote the first one, who was responsible for Lost. Yep. And what that became.
I'm familiar with.
Plus Star Trek Into Darkness and a bunch of other stuff.
So, a hilarious romp.
People hate that guy, Mason.
Yeah, I know.
I'm leaning towards that as well.
Oh, good.
Because they always get him in to do stuff, and whenever his name's associated, I'm like, oh, this is going to be one of those things where it doesn't pay off.
He's saying he's the new Shyamalan.
No.
Okay.
You know what? It's the thing about that guy is, because he's great at setting things up or whatever,
yep.
but he cannot tie anything together to save himself.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he keeps getting hired, considering, because of the stuff that he makes is successful. Maybe that's what it is.
Considering that
he's just, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what his thought process is.
Here's an idea what they could do. They bring in Lindelof to kick it off. And then, oh, that rhymes.
That did.
And then they get the Breaking Bad writers in to finish it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be a team up. Because, and I don't want to spoil, if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, without spoiling it, and then they're in the first episode of the final season of Breaking Bad, the writers introduced an element, an object, without giving anything away. And apparently they just threw that in there.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, by the final couple of episodes, we need to have put that into the plot.
Yeah.
And so they just work their way towards it.
And it's like it was meant to be there from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
It's incredibly well
planned. So you team those two up.
Yeah.
Golden.
Or just get the Breaking Bad writers.
Just get the Breaking Bad writers, because they did set it up very well also. So, yeah, let's kick out. Lindelof, you're out of Hollywood, mate.
That's it. Mm. Yeah. Michael Green is out. Lindelof is out. He's
okay.
Not back in.
Good.
Michael Green is in. Writer Michael Green. Do you want to hear what he's responsible for?
Yes.
Green Lantern.
Ugh.
Smallville.
Oh, that's another of those Mark Webb situations. Well, he's got Green in the name, so he's probably seen a lantern. He's walked through Chinatown at least once.
He wrote certain episodes of Smallville.
Okay.
And Heroes.
Ugh.
I know what you're thinking. Heroes Season 1, right?
Yep.
He wrote Heroes Season 2. There you go.
Okay, so this isn't going to be a Prometheus prequel.
No, this is going to be a follow-up, because, you know, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Prometheus, at the end, Michael Fassbender's head and Naomi Rapace fly off to find
adventures unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently the next movie will also have multiple Davids in it, the Michael Fassbender.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who was an amazing character, but you know what the thing about that character? It was a weird combination where they never really explained his motivations or whether he was a good guy or a bad guy.
Right,
because you know, in every Aliens film, when they've put an android in it, it is very clear that, oh, this is a shit one.
Right,
okay, this is a good one. Do you know what I mean? But that one's kind of like...
those t-shirts that say...
this is a shit one, yeah. So, yeah, they didn't really... And I found his character fascinating because you see him at the start when he's on the ship by himself just kind of wandering around, and he's modeling himself off... who's the guy who starred in Lawrence of Arabia?
So...
Might have been Peter O'Toole or Laurence Olivier. I can't remember. Mm. And he's modelled his hair and his accent off that. And I just find that element of... See, there's little things like that are fascinating.
Yep.
But it just...
Fassbender-nating.
Yes. And Fassbender's the best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do want to see a follow-up, even though this franchise... As I said in my video, Prometheus managed to derail an already derailed franchise.
It really did, yeah.
Which is amazing. Mm. So, yeah.
I'm also kind of, now that I know it's a prequel, I kind of want to see Guy Pearce in more old person makeup. Like, just layer more of it on him. Because clearly the idea was, we were going to have a prequel, and then he was going to take the makeup off and look young.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that the idea?
I think so. But why not just get an old guy?
Oh, yeah. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. That was because I think the reason they picked him was because there was a viral video set years in the past where they used actual Guy Pearce without makeup.
Oh, I see.
So, like, but you could have just used a younger actor and then have an older actor. And you can get a 60-year-old guy, and it's easy to make a 60-year-old guy look 90 than it is to make a 40-year-old guy look 90.
Correct, yes.
You know, it comes off as that weird... What was that movie where Leonardo DiCaprio looked really old? He was the president.
President Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's the one, yeah.
President of Earth.
So, yeah, there you go.
Have you seen... Because I'm a fan of Idris Elba, who's in that, and in a lot of good things now.
You love him.
Did I make you watch Ultraviolet? Not the Mila Jovovich film, but the British science fiction
No, I've seen the Mila Jovovich one, though.
Ah, because it's unrelated. But it's okay. It's a British sci-fi series from the 90s about vampires.
Okay.
It's really quite good.
I'll check it out.
The effects are not good, certainly, because it's a British sci-fi series from the 90s, but he's in that. And it's also got the guy from Pirates
President
of the Caribbean.
President Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean who's like Orlando Bloom's nemesis. He's like the other love interest. What's his name?
Oh, I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, he's in
He's good too.
Yeah.
He's in a bunch
of
stuff. Good. All right, I'll check it out.
Please do.
Ultraviolet with Mila Kunis. Mila Jovovich.
No, none of those. Okay, correct.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So that's all we've got to say about Prometheus this week.
Okay, good.
Tentatively looking forward to it?
Yeah, kind of.
You know what does look good upcoming in the Alien franchise?
Yes.
You know that Alien versus that Alien game they bought out recently?
Colonial Marines?
Colonial Marines, which is apparently like the worst game ever made. It's not anything like it was supposed to be, and et cetera. And they bring back Michael Biehn's character somehow.
Okay,
like they bring him back from the dead. And it's set on the original planet, even though that planet was nuked at the end. That makes zero sense. But they're making a new game called Alien Isolation. Uh-huh. And you play as... It's a first person, and you play as Ripley's daughter, and you go and visit the area where Ripley disappeared, like... 15 years later.
Okay, sure.
And it's just you and one alien. And that's the whole game.
Oh.
And it looks a bit kind of Dead Space. Have you ever played Dead Space?
Yeah,
first Dead Space is really good. Well, the second one's all right, too. I haven't played the third one. But, and it looks really, really atmospheric and really, really good. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward. So that's shades of the original Alien.
Exactly.
The one.
But every time they bring out an Aliens game, they're like, you know, we've found what's great about the...
We've
whittled it down to the core of what works in the Alien franchise. Like, have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
No.
All you've done is put the machine gun sound in.
Yep.
And the sound of the machine that goes bloop.
Yep.
Bloop.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Really not.
But this game, though, it looks really good.
Mm. Have you seen, and this is a tangent, but...
I've seen Ultraviolet.
No. Oh, wait. Yeah, I was going to say that. Have you seen they recently released a Rambo game?
Yes.
Why?
I know.
Why?
Weird timing.
And it's not like based on the most recent one.
No.
Where he's in Myanmar and it's real quite, you know, horrors of war and etc.
Yeah.
It's based on the first three.
Yeah.
And it looks ridiculous. It's a rail shooter.
Yeah. It's a rail, who, and it's not a light
gun. It's not a light gun game. It's a controller game, yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
That's an iPhone game.
It is.
That's what
that
sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, that's baffling.
Mm, anyway.
We should recommend that, though, in what should we read and what are we going to read?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next up, mate. So this came out last Monday. The X-Men New Days of Future Past trailer. People crap on this film, mostly for the Quicksilver thing. But that's a pretty good trailer, am I wrong?
Yes, but... That outfit is looking worse and worse.
Oh,
now that you
it?
Mention it, it's just... He's just there in the background looking mopey with his dumb goggles on.
It sure is, yeah.
But that trailer does look fantastic.
It does, yeah. Mm. But what do you think about the... spoiler alert for those... If you have seen the trailer, you would have seen this. If you have not seen the trailer, possible spoiler alert. So skip forward a few minutes.
Yep.
It looks like Halle Berry gets stabbed in the back by a sentinel.
Mm.
So... Look, because it gets so close that... It looks like that you could not possibly avoid that.
Yeah, but you could CGI and Wolverine jumping in the middle there, which is probably what'll happen.
They must be non-magnetic, these Sentinels. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say the original versions are.
Yeah.
Because the Magneto probably deals with them quite quickly, but...
Yeah.
New one's non-magnetic.
Yeah.
There you go. But, I mean, that would explain why most of Halle Berry's scenes have been deleted.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I imagine they said, okay, Halle, can you just stand here and look bewildered for a second? And then sort of fall to the ground. And she's like, okay, I guess so. And then dead.
She's like, I won an Oscar, you know. And they're like, yeah, we know. Lie down. That's fine. She gets a bad rap, that Halle Berry.
Yeah.
But I like her. Mm-hmm. You know what my favorite line in that trailer is?
Is it a James McAvoy line?
You better believe it is.
What is it?
I don't want your future! I'm going to edit that in.
Great.
Right here.
Ugh.
Just to see how dead on that was that we did that.
Can you do it in your New York accent?
Forget about your future!
Nice. Good.
All right, moving on from that though, Mason. Kevin,
does anything more fun happen?
Oh, yeah,
there?
I guess so. I didn't make any notes on it. I just think it looks great. Just a whole lot of stuff clipped together from the movie. A lot of past, a lot of present.
Yeah,
I mean future.
Mm.
You see Iceman do an ice slide.
Yep.
You see the guy who's made a fire.
Is that Chamber? Maybe.
No, I can't remember. They said who it was. I don't think it's Chamber.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, looks good.
Mm.
Look forward to that, Mason.
Definitely.
In months to come.
Yeah. I mean, not as much as Prometheus 2, certainly.
Sure. Mm. Hey. If you had to choose between one.
That'd be X-Men.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin
Sorbo.
Yes. The president of... So the CEO of Warner Brothers. His name's spelled T-S-U-J-I-H-A-R-A.
Kevin T.
Kevin T. He took over as Warner Brothers CEO last year, and he's made a decision, apparently, to accelerate the use of comic book movie characters. And he did so by eliminating some layers of middle management, which is really, if you want to get things done, that's who you eliminate.
Right, okay.
Middle management, man. I mean, I love fighting the man. You know I do, Mason.
I know you do, yeah.
That was all in conjunction with this announcement that he said, Kevin T., that their film series will be announced in the near future, a DC film series, which will include the Justice League. So, I mean, I guess we assumed this was coming anyway.
Yes.
But what do you think he means by soon? Do you think he means, like, right now?
I reckon he means 2018.
Well, the thing is, you can't... It's only so fast you could fast-track a massive...
franchise.
Yeah.
You need...
like the know-how. You need the confidence.
Exactly.
You need the swagger.
You need goggles. Custom goggles. You need seven... You need at least seven decently good, like, big stars,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because otherwise it's a team of nobodies and who cares, right?
Yeah. Yep, sure.
So, you know what? You need three.
Yeah.
You need a big three at least.
Yeah.
So you need three people who have completely clear schedules for however many months it
you
takes.
You need your RDJ.
Yep.
You need your Tom Hiddleston.
Yep. You need a Hemsworth. It doesn't matter which one, but a Hemsworth.
So, yeah. Mm. What do you think of that, Mason?
It sounds like a pipe dream.
Sure. Yeah.
A beautiful pipe dream.
I'd like to see it. But it also said that in this particular article, the move that they meant, you know, they moved Batman vs. Superman to the same day as a Marvel movie,
yep, uh-huh.
which turned out to be Captain America. That was Warner Brothers saying they take a backseat to nobody.
Oh.
But I would argue that they do take a backseat to a lot of people.
Almost constantly, sure. Cinematically, definitely.
So, yeah. As much as I love DC, and I do, they do not have the best track record.
No.
Or consistency in getting films out. On a regular basis.
Sure.
So, you know, make of that what you will. Just before we move on, Mason, there were some set photos from the Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, yes.
A few people asked online, what do we think of them, etc. You see Hawkeye's got a sweet long leather coat.
Oh, I haven't seen them.
You see Iron Man has an armor, reversed armor. It might not be Iron Man, though. It could be a... it could be... What are you doing on your iPad?
No,
what are you
not.
Subtly reaching for?
I'm just going to look up the set
no,
photos.
No, that's fine.
How am I going to discuss these knowledgeably?
So, Mason,
yes.
What do you think of the on-set photos? You saw the Quicksilver. What do you think?
Okay. It's better than the X-Men.
I'm assuming that's pre-costume, proper costume as well, because he's just wearing regular runners and kind of like a weird...
Like a
jogging shirt.
Yeah, I mean, that works for me, because the idea is he might be sort of the... He's in some sort of terrorist group, maybe Brotherhood of Evil
yeah.
Hands or whatever. But he also might be just...
Well, not that, but...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Brotherhood of Evil. Guys who aren't shield. I don't know. He might be good. Like, he might be having an off day.
Sure.
He's on vacay.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't want to, you know, and he's just wearing his jogging stuff.
Absolutely.
It's fine, and it looks nice. It looks better than a silver jacket
absolutely.
With goggles. And he's got the swoosh. It's nice.
He does have the swoosh. What do you think of the Ultron? I mean, obviously, that's a guy in a puffy jacket with a
boy,
silver
is it
helmet.
Ever, yeah. I like it.
Yeah, cool.
Good head shape. Nice.
Sure. Great head shape.
Uh-huh, sure.
And also, I think the one that people asked us specifically to talk about was this Iron Man one in
the
particular.
The 42 or the whatever it is.
But it's also, if you notice, the colours
have been reversed.
Yeah, or some of them have anyway.
Yeah. I'm in favour of that. Because a lot of the complaint about the Mark 42 was that it was way too much gold.
Or too cool. Some people said too
some
cool.
Some people said it was too cool for school, didn't they? Yeah, that's right. Oh, I like the sweatpants also.
Yeah, sure.
I think, with any luck... He hasn't finished the armor, and he's just going to wear sweatpants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about this movie is when you put in an Iron Man costume or whatever,
yep.
at this point we don't know whether that's, you know, the Tony Stark himself or the Iron Legion or Ultron taking over various
point.
Armors. So we don't know, Mason.
Yeah,
it's all purely speculation
yeah.
at this point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah. Did you see Clint Barton's sweet new leather jacket?
I kind of like the sweet jacket.
Me too.
Oh, and he's got sleeves.
He's got
non-jacket
so many...
sleeves. Got sleeves. So he's no longer the girl character.
He still has... There are still scenes of him where he doesn't have sleeves.
Oh, so he's got zip-off sleeves.
He must have.
Right.
I wish he... Yeah, exactly. I wish he had a long coat, no sleeves.
Yeah,
that would be
really good,
the
yeah.
best.
So good.
So, yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Let's get into it though, Mason. This okay. Topic for this week, I thought possibly we could talk about.
I'm ready.
But before we do that,
yes.
Thank you to all the people who downloaded the first commentary track, the Weekly Planet podcast commentary track for Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
The First Avenger, sorry.
I do that literally every time.
Every time. You're so excited about it.
The weekly...
I wonder if Christopher Reeves directed it. You idiots.
Theweeklyplanet.bandcamp.com is where it's there. Uh-huh. You can just play it for free, or you can decide to, you know, play some money and download it. As we said last week, you don't feel obliged to do that. A couple of people did though, Mason.
They did.
We earned $6.10 this week.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Love
That's
it.
Australian as well, so it's not worth as much as overseas.
Oh,
our
sure,
currency is practically dog shit. So, Andrew Zelensnik, he sent $5.
You can just, I think at this point, let's just say first names.
Okay. Andrew Z and Teal E. He sent $1.10 and Andrew sent $5. So there we go. How good is that?
Wow.
That's cash money in our pockets.
I'm going to buy heroin.
Who's your heroin guy?
He's just a guy. He's over there.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
He's in the corner.
He looks really dangerous.
No, but I keep him around because he's got all the good heroin, yeah.
Sure. Also, I apologize to Courtney Heck, friend of the show, because we didn't do a spoiler alert and I didn't even think to do this because we revealed the identity of the Winter Soldier. And even though a lot of people know this at this point, I feel like I shouldn't have assumed. You also shouldn't assume, so this is on you, that people know the identity of the Winter Soldier.
No, I assume stuff. All kinds of stuff.
Sure. So,
sorry,
yeah,
Courtney.
Yeah, apologize for
listeners.
That. Yeah. So there you go. All right, Mason. Let's get into the topic for this week. As I said, is I'm going to be on Captain America. Now we've talked about the Winter Soldier in depth before. We've also talked about the First Avenger in depth before. But you know, Mason, there have been other Captain America movies that I have researched using my skills on the internet.
I've tried to steadfastly ignore them for my life. But yeah, yes, there are other
sure.
ones. Yeah, let's talk about them.
Would you like me to take you through the history of Captain America?
Yes.
I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh.
I can't hear anything.
No, I can't hear anything either. It's weird. They all abandoned us.
Okay.
Let's assume they mean yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there was a Captain America cereal. Not cereal as in a delicious cereal.
Yeah.
But there was a delicious movie cereal.
Oh!
That came out actually...
So like little bits of celluloid in there.
That's right.
Crispy wheat and celluloid.
That's it. Mm. It came out in 1944, and it was loosely based on the Timely Comic. Timely Comic being the original name for Marvel
Comics, sure.
Yep. Based on the character Captain America. Now, this 1944 cereal is actually the first theatrical release connected to a Marvel character. The next one being Howard the Duck in 1986.
Really?
Theatrical
that,
release, yeah. Like US theatrical release. Uh-huh. Some of the ones have been released in cinemas like briefly and whatever, uh-huh. but this was a proper release. There's a few things about this movie that I'd like to tell you about, Mason.
I'm ready.
Firstly, it looks terrible.
Great.
Secondly, Bucky does not appear in the film.
Uh-huh. Have they shoehorned in another?
They have. He has a female secretary who is his helper. It also says...
That like his helper, like he's has a disability.
That's right.
The super soldier serum withered his legs away.
That's right.
It gave him polio.
The super soldier serum was not used.
Oh.
His shield did not appear.
He's just a real tough guy.
Yeah, he's just a real... Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
His shield did not appear. Do you know what it was replaced with?
A gun.
Yes.
Just a gun.
Just a gun.
Is it a gun? Is it the Stars and Stripes gun?
Just a gun.
Is it a real, real big gun? Is it an impressive gun?
Just a gun.
Oh.
Now, despite this being made in 44,
the war was still going on.
The war was very much still going on. It was in full flight the year before it finished. There was not a single Nazi in it, and he fought the Scarab.
Huh.
Wouldn't you think that would have been the perfect opportunity to bring in...
Yeah. You'd think... Yeah, wait a minute.
Also, Captain America's secret identity is U.S. District Attorney Grant Gardner.
What is this? What is this? What is this universe?
I think what happened here, I think it was a script for a different movie, and they just shoehorned in.
That's right.
So I'm assuming that's what happened here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the actor who portrayed him was a famous-ish actor at the time. His name was Dick Purcell, and he was described at the time as having an average to slightly overweight physique.
Having just googled the pictures, if you'd said, could you please describe him, I would have said overweight physique.
Now, there's some sad news associated with this movie, aside from everything I've mentioned.
Is it one of those movies that's been cursed?
Well, no, not cursed, but I'm sure if you want to take this as a curse, okay. If you're the kind of fool who believes in curses, Mason, which I know you are.
Well, we were cursed to do this podcast
that's right.
for eternity, if you recall.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Mm. The strain on his heart, on Dick Purcell's heart during filming was too much.
Yep.
And he died in a locker room weeks after filming after playing a round of golf.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Definitively link it to Captain America, though?
Well, that's what they say.
I would definitively link it to his overweight physique, if anything.
Man, it was the 40s. You know, you eat a good steak and a glass of milk.
Yeah,
and, you know,
steak and a milk.
That's what you... You know, your people weren't that up on... Well, you know, that's not true. People knew how to eat healthy.
He probably smoked 40 cigars a day. You know what they were like back then.
And, you know, playing a round of golf, it's not the most stressful thing. So, yeah, he clearly had some health issues. Guess how old he was?
Okay, well, he looks incredibly old in this photo. So I'm going to say he was 38.
He was 35.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's so fucking...
People looked awful back in the day. Have you noticed?
They sure do, Mason. It's not just the haircuts and the physique, though, is it?
Yeah.
There's something else, something you can't pinpoint, that people just look god-awful.
Yeah. So... It's the chins.
Yeah. Now, the writer Raymond Stedman believed that the changes made between the comic book and the film version, they were changes for the better.
No, you were right. You are absolutely right. They've shoehorned. What they've done is they've written the script, and then maybe they've gotten people on board to make the film.
Yeah.
And this guy's learned that his character's name is Grant, and everybody's remembered it as Grant, and then they've been like, okay, now it's a Captain America film, and they're like, well, I'm not learning Steve. I'm only responding to Grant now.
And he's not, he's just a guy. He's a district attorney.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a soldier. Like, yeah. I don't understand this.
Mm.
Oh, it's baffling. At the time, though, here's a review, Mason. At the time, it was regarded as the apex of traditional action film fighting, in the opinion of cliffhanger enthusiasts.
Wow. Cliffhanger Enthusiasts magazine.
So, look.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
I do love an old-timey magazine.
I tell you what, this is... I looked at it, I'm like, I will...
The apex of action fighting combat. _Cat Fancier magazine.
Oh, this is one of those things you can't ever go back and watch this, can you?
No.
Like, it's all well and good laughing about the death of a man now.
Sure, absolutely.
But
enough time has passed.
That's right, but I can you imagine being from this time? Or, you know, people say, would you go back in time? I would never go back in time.
No.
Not anywhere, at any point, for any reason. Aside from the ripples through time that it could affect. Can you imagine being forced to go and watch this shit? Because if it was me back then, I would go and watch it. I'd be like, uh-huh, I have to watch this.
Yep.
Because there is nothing else. So I'd watch that, and then I'd wait 40 years, and I'd watch Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine, like...
Look at this guy. And he's wearing the trunks.
Yeah.
The trunks and the leggings. Completely unnecessary. Just even wear regular pants.
Do you like his... Is that a gun, or is he pointing?
No, it's a gun. It's a weedy little gun. It's not even a... Like, give him a big gun, at least. Give him whatever the biggest gun at the time was, you know?
I remember reading...
Blunderbuss.
Exactly. Mm. And also, I remember reading the time, like, they felt like the character wasn't constricted to go and change into his Captain America uniform in an army base and sneak off.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't think he actually did in the original Captain America.
No.
Maybe he did, I don't know. Mm. But, like, he could just change in his office or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess that's handy.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, there you go. Mm. Check it out. Captain America 1944, Mason. Oh, highly recommended.
Can we rubbish this some more?
Oh, absolutely.
Let me just have a quick look. Let's see. He seems to be sneaking around a lot of offices, so that's good. He seems to be threatening a man in a bathroom. That's good, isn't it? He doesn't have any wings on his head. It looks kind of ridiculous.
You mean this movie looks kind of ridiculous?
Yeah, this movie looks a little bit ridiculous. Yeah, you're right. Now that'll do it. No good. Hey, hypothetical time travel. How about this?
God, okay.
How about this? You have to. Okay, imagine, if you will, as a device.
Sure.
Right, and what it can do is it can take your mind back in time,
yep,
to any point in your history.
Sure.
And then you live your life forward again from that point.
So you
can change things.
Would I mess up, like, people having kids and stuff? Because if you bump a guy in the street,
no,
suddenly his sperm count is out.
No, let's say no. Like,
yeah,
unless you kill him,
yeah,
it'll be fine.
Okay,
so
fine.
You can live your life at what, and you have to go back.
Yeah.
How far do you go back?
I go right back.
Really?
I go to, like, 4.
Huh.
And I just mess with everybody.
And you know what you know now. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Can you imagine? I mean, you know what? It would be a nightmare because the way people would talk to you, you'd be forced to go to school and whatever.
Right.
And you'd be considered a freak because you don't want to talk to other kids because kids are the worst.
Yeah.
But also adults don't want to talk to you.
Right, is it because you're a child? Sure.
Yeah, so you'd become a weird social outcast, I guess. Maybe not. Maybe I'd go back to, like, 14, 15.
See, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I ask people this a lot.
Yeah.
And because a lot of people be like, I'll go back and I'll invest in Google and blah, 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 right?
Nah, I don't care about
that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I probably would if it's been all that, whatever.
Just out of...
I'd just bet all my money on, like, one big sporting match that if I can remember what happened.
Oh, you'd sports almanac this.
I'd just do that, whatever, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Shares seem like a lot of effort, you know?
Yeah,
getting shares and stuff.
Getting, maintaining shares, share portfolios.
Sharing things.
Sharing.
Sharing a sandwich.
Sharing some tapas, you know?
But yeah, that's why. What would you do?
Yeah, I'd probably go back like 10 minutes. I like what I'm doing now.
That's the thing.
Good. Yeah.
There's no time like the now, Mason.
Correct.
Until you have a heart attack in a bathroom.
Ooh.
Jeez.
Ooh.
So yeah, good question though.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that having to go
people
back to
write
high
in. I would like to hear.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that going back to high school?
Some people's answers are really depressing, though.
Yeah.
They're like, I'd go back to last week and I wouldn't let Jenny go. I'd apologize and you're like, oh, why did I ask? I thought you were going to say something wacky, but...
Yeah, nothing depressing.
Thank you.
Don't bring us down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wacky stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I'd probably do? I'd really just go back and mess with people. That's what I would do.
Good idea.
All my enemies, Mason. Mm. All my personal vendettas, I would.
You'd clear them.
I'd clear them right
you'd
out.
You'd clear that ledger, I understand.
So, yeah. Now, there wasn't a Captain America movie or sort of movie for a while, but there were some television movies in 1979. One was called Captain America, and one was called
Captain America.
Captain America.
Ooh.
Captain America Death Too Soon. Now, basically, Steve Rogers in this.
Yes. So we've made it to Steve Rogers.
Yeah,
good.
That's it. He was his father was a 1940s government agent, but he was such a good government agent that he got the nickname Captain America. And that inspired this former Marine turned artist.
Oh, yep. Okay.
To draw this particular Captain America costume. And then after an accident that he has, he's given FLAG, which stands for Full Latent Ability Gain. Why don't you say Super Serum?
Thank you, yes.
Now, he has a modified van. This is his mode of transport, if you will.
Great.
That launches a motorcycle out the back.
Ugh.
The motorcycle also has a jet boost and a hang glider attached, for easy landing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is the movie as well. Very famously, he's got the clear plastic shield.
Yep, uh-huh, sure.
And he has the motorcycle helmet.
He does, yes.
Yeah.
Through the whole film.
That's right. Never takes it off.
Yeah.
In the second movie, though, he doesn't have it. I think he has the he has a regular Captain America helmet.
Okay, so there was a sequel.
There was a sequel that same year, yeah. Guess who plays the villain in the sequel? Very famous schlock actor. Older than time itself.
Christopher Lee?
Correct.
Yeah!
He played a villain in part two called Miguel.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is what... I don't want to spoil the ending to this movie.
Wait, is that racist?
I don't know.
Okay, good.
I don't see race, Mason.
I understand. Sure.
I don't see racism either. I just let it go right past.
Solves a lot of your problems, I guess.
Sure does. In the end of the movie... Oh, spoiler alert, Mason. I'm going to spoil this movie for you. You ready?
Okay, cool, yep.
At the end of the movie, Miguel throws...
At the end of the second movie.
Second movie, okay, sorry, cool, I should say. Uh-huh. At the end of... Because the first movie just ended, I think, with a fist fight. I don't know.
But this it ended with Captain America dying.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it's weird. This was the Civil War of its time. They're like, you could never make a late 70s, early 80s Captain America sequel to Captain America, and everybody scoffed, and then they did...
In their faces.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, Miguel throws a bottle of aging serum into the air.
Winter Soldier has a disco ball arm. Continue.
On a rope?
Yeah.
So he can swing it?
Yeah.
He throws that aging serum into the air, hoping it will smash on Captain America. But Captain America throws his shield at it.
His mighty shield.
His mighty shield, smashing it in a way that it lands on Miguel, aging him to death in less than 1 minute. Less than 1 minute. That's a long time, though.
Especially on film in the 70s.
Yes. So, yeah.
See, that seems like kind of that Red Skull thing where he's always blowing the death dust on people.
Yeah.
He's blown back in his own face.
In his own face, yeah.
Except they didn't use the Red Skull for some reason.
No, they used Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
If you Google image search 1979 Captain America,
yeah,
there's a photo of him looking very non-threatening with his outfit. His outfit looks kind of good.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Except for the helmet.
Yeah. But with his giant helmet with the wings on it, which makes him look ridiculous, like a ridiculous lollipop man. And there's just... He's there and he's looking as threatening as he could possibly be. And there's like an angry grandmother behind him with a clipboard. And I don't know what the context of that is, but it doesn't matter, does it? When you think about it.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to believe this, Mason, but yes. At the time, these movies received a mixed reception.
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
So bad to terrible.
Bad to terrible, yes. So there you go. Those movies are around and you can get them on YouTube. And you just discovered as well, just then, didn't you, that you can get that first one we talked about.
The 1944 serial, the whole thing is on
YouTube.
There.
Yeah.
So get into that.
So yeah, check that out.
Or don't.
Don't.
I will.
Mason,
yes.
Skip forward 11 years.
Okay. Wait, what happened to that intervening?
Well, there was a few things, though, and I'll get to them later.
Sure. I just meant generally.
Oh, generally? Yeah. Well, both of us were born.
This would be the point where I'd... Just start singing We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, if I can remember any of it.
Something, something, Boris Day, Harry Potter, something, something. In 1990, this is a very famous...
I remember 1990.
Sure,
I was alive for this bit.
Both of us were alive.
Yeah.
I don't remember this movie, though, at the time. There was a Captain America film, which was supposed to be released in cinemas, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Famously terrible. The director of this, actually... before the new Captain America, the first Avenger came out, he toured the country with it in cinemas. Yeah. That's one of those things where you see...
Oh, like as a goof?
No.
Huh.
It's one of those things where you see it before the movie comes out, you see it on the shelf in like your DVD store or whatever,
uh-huh.
And it's just got the shield on the front and it tricks grandmothers into buying it for
grandchildren. Like a Transmorphers.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's called Captain America. What else do you want? You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that's it. Now, they actually considered, which is revolutionary at the time.
I was going to say, you know how we like our combinations of terrible DVD
double pack? Is this the one that people sent us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dylan Burgess
sent
us a combination, an incongruous combination of DVDs. It's the first X-Men film, and it's a two DVD set, the first X-Men film, and the 1960s Batman movie. All right. Great. That's the winner, I think. Two great movies, it says, up the top. And they're right. They are two great movies.
What's baffling? I do not understand how that happened.
Yeah.
That cannot be legal.
No.
Right?
I guess.
Because I know they had such a big problem with getting the Batman 1960 show on DVD. That's only just been announced.
Yeah.
I think the movie was already on DVD, but how did they get those two together?
Hmm.
So yeah, there you go. That is the winner. If you find a weirder double pack than that, and it doesn't have to be
a triple pack.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything superhero related. If you find one, We want to know.
There, that's our favorite thing.
This is a personal quest for us.
Yeah.
And right now, Dylan is winning.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Basically, this movie was revolutionary for the time because it actually wanted to use initially two actors for the role of Captain America.
Oh, skinny and big.
They didn't do it.
Oh.
Now, if you want to watch,
it was hypothetically revolutionary.
Yes. Now, you don't want to watch this movie, by all accounts, but Red Letter Media put a video up a few weeks back. They did this Best and Worst Of series, where they did, I think, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four, Supergirl, which is terrible, and this in one video. Go and check it out. It's a really good... You know, the Red Letter Media guys are great.
Yeah.
It's a really good review of it. But basically, at the time... Arnold Schwarzenegger was considered for the role.
Yeah, okay.
Which, you know, that would have been in the 90s. That would have been like, forget it. Doesn't matter. He doesn't have an accent. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently that ruled him out. Dolph Lundgren was also considered for the role.
But then he got the Punisher.
He did.
That was before.
Yeah. Val Kilmer was considered but declined because he was doing that Doors movie.
Wow.
Which...
That's probably a better move, ultimately.
Though, you know, people... That movie, right? You know, I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay, good, yeah.
Who cares?
Too far out of our wheelhouse.
It sure is. It's way out. He did go on to play a superhero eventually, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
The Saint.
Stop it. Stop it, you.
Now, the original mask in the film initially had ear holes that allowed the actor Matt Salinger, son of J.D. Salinger.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
It is, yeah.
It allowed his ears to poke through. But that chafed his ears. So what they did...
Poor Matt Salinger. He got chased on his ears.
What they decided to do was add rubber ears to the outside.
Oh, dear.
And it's very noticeable.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to duplicate an ear, Mason, we know.
Yeah. You got two options, rubber ears or clone an ear on the back of a mouse.
Yes, that's right.
It's really all you got.
Yeah. Now, it's weird, and I saw this in the Red Letter Media thing. There are two separate scenes in this movie where Captain America is hitching a ride with somebody. And he pretends to be ill, so he gets out, pretends like he's gonna, like, be sick, and then he races back to the car and steals it. That happens twice.
That's his move.
Yes, that's his move.
That's fascinating.
So, yeah, that's amazing. It's also...
His move isn't throw his shield or whatever. It's pretend to be ill. So weird.
That's it. So bizarre. Now, before this movie was introduced, I know you love a Stan Lee fact.
Yes, I'm ready.
Marvel Comics head honcho Stan Lee insisted... that it was good. He wrote, the director Albert Pyun, P-Y-U-N,
uh-huh.
I think he did, we've talked about him before. He did like Cyborg and that, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, director Albert Pyun did it so well and so excitingly that everyone in the audience at the screening kept clamoring for more, and that accounted for the film being scheduled for reshoots.
Wow. So people in the cinema were like, more, encore. We want more...
Put another scene in where he pretends to be sick and steals
the
car.
Do it right now. That's what... That people in the 90s were idiots.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's covering up the fact that they had to reshoot it because it was a mess.
Yeah, I'd imagine
that's the kind of thing that they would say. And I love Stanley, God bless him.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that for a second.
No, exactly.
It currently holds a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. And Rob Gons...
No, that's the pre... Extra footage version.
Oh, it must be. Yeah. Oh, man. Mm. Rob Gonsalves, he writes for efilmcritic.com. I took one quote from Rotten Tomatoes for this. This is his quote. One of the dumbest movies of all time.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, but I'd recommend checking out that Red Letter Media review of it. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. What an age we live in. Now, the next Captain America movie was The First Avenger.
Oh, and then, we've of course, seen that.
Yes, we have. Now, I didn't get any trivia for that. We've talked about it at length. If you'd like to know some trivia and stuff about it, please feel free to check out our audio commentary
Correct.
For that. So, yeah.
Love it.
At theweeklyplanet.bandcamp.com/Mason/James/fun#bestfriends.
That's the one. I was hoping you put in that.
So, yeah. Now, Mason, I want to talk more about Captain America. As I said to you earlier, it's a mishmash of an episode.
Uh-huh, sure.
Like the movie MASH.
Yep.
The original, which is a great movie and show.
Yes.
You know I love MASH. There have been some alternative comic versions of Captain America. A few I'm going to get you to talk about.
Okay, sure.
On the fly.
Uh-huh.
And a few I'm going to talk about. Now, there's actually a version in alternative dimensions and whatnot. So I've just picked some interesting or amusing ones. This one, in particular, Steve Rogers was selected for the Weapon X program. And he was given a procedure similar to Wolverine's that bonds vibranium to his skeleton with the same material used as his shield, and he was given the codename Vibram. So that's interesting, isn't it?
It's certainly a thing that happened in comic books? I don't remember that one at all. When was this?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I'm assuming it was probably... Well, Wolverine was from the 80s, isn't he? So I'm assuming it's probably from the 80s.
Ugh,
or
the
90s.
80s.
Or maybe it was from
the 90s.
I'm going to
say 90s. Because 90s was the 90s was the heyday of the what-ifs.
New,
there's so many what-ifs.
That's true.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Most of these are what-ifs.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Another thing to add to our drinking game. Whenever we say the 90s...
Yep, sure.
Have a drink. I got another one.
Yep.
The Amalgam... Amalgam?
The Amalgam Universe.
Yeah. Captain America was combined with
Wait.
DC Superman.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to try and remember his name from that universe.
Oh, do you want to guess?
Let me think.
Superman. Combined with DC
was it
Superman.
Super Soldier.
It was.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Very good.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't read that. You read it?
Yeah, I remember those.
Was it really good?
Mixed. But they were all, it was, Amalgam was the, there was a Marvel, do you remember Marvel versus DC?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've read the Daredevil Batman one, which is, I think you lent me that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, this was, there was actually...
Oh, you're talking like the mixture thing.
Yeah, there was a Marvel versus DC crossover. There was a guy who could travel between the two universes, and there was some sort of beings that represented, the cosmic beings that represented each of the universes combined into one briefly.
Sure.
And all the heroes combined together.
This is like Mortal Kombat versus DC.
No.
Because they all mixed together.
They didn't really, though, did they?
Shao Kahn mixed with Darkseid.
Oh, yeah, that's just the one.
Just the one.
Yeah, that one happened, yeah. But it was all like Iron Lantern and...
Okay.
There was, actually, the one positive about that, there was a Batman-Wolverine combination called Darkclaw.
Yeah.
And in the first Marvel versus DC series, it was like extreme 90s Darkclaw.
But
then
drink.
In the second... They did a second run of these characters. They made some new ones and some old, you know, reused some old ones. But they did a Darkclaw, like Adventures of Darkclaw in the style of the Batman animated series.
So
that's a
positive.
Get a hold of that
cool.
one. That's a good one.
All
yeah.
right, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you in particular, you mentioned before,
yep.
I think you mentioned on the audio commentary thing,
uh-huh.
that Captain America has been a werewolf.
Oh, yes.
You want to tell me about that?
Well, here's the thing about that, is that... we have mentioned this, but there was a period in the 90s where Captain America wasn't very good. You know, he was on the outside of popularity.
Sure.
He's come back now since.
But sure. He had that sweet movie. He was writing off the sweet movie.
Oh, yeah. Where was J.D.?
So really,
J.D.
comics let Captain America
yeah,
down.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically, the villain was Nightshade, who's a sultry seductress of some sort.
I love
anyway,
a sultry
she injected
seductress.
Him with, like, mutagens.
Okay.
And he became a werewolf.
All the time?
Yeah, all the time. And he could have... It was one of those... Because it was the 90s, thought bubbles were still there. And he couldn't speak. He could only, like, bark. So there was a lot of...
They could have just made him speak.
No. It's the 90s, man. But there were a lot of... Because thought balloons still existed. There was a lot of thought balloons where he's like, must speak. Must communicate with. Throat not making words. You know? There's a lot of that.
Well, that sounds really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So would you recommend that?
Yeah, and it was like 6 issues.
Wow.
Which is way too many issues, right?
I agree.
Half an issue.
There wasn't Batman a vampire at one point as well? It's called Bampfire.
That's the one.
Bampfire?
Yeah, Bampfire. You're thinking of a campfire.
Oh, I am thinking of a campfire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah,
I love
yeah.
a campfire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what do you got there?
Well, he punched on with Wolverine. So that was
yeah, yeah, I've got that here as well.
Great.
It says that he beat Wolverine.
Yeah, well, he slashed his face.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was one of those... It's also that era where you couldn't really show blood.
Okay.
So all blood was black back then.
Oh, right, okay.
So it was all, everything was in shadow and kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, anyway,
get into it. Those
don't,
six...
Don't read it. Man and Wolf, if you must. That the storyline was called Man and Wolf.
Man and Wolf.
Mm.
That makes sense. That's a good name.
Yeah. Yeah. Really
did you enjoy the werewolf movie with Benicio
there we
del
go.
Toro?
There we go.
What do you got?
Look, we got a thought balloon. We got him slashing Wolverine in the face.
And he's still wearing the outfit.
Yeah, he's still wearing the little outfit, sure.
Of course he is. Why yeah. wouldn't he be? Is he still holding the shield?
Yes, he's still holding the shield.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
There was a what if, Mason.
But that's only because he'll set it down and somebody will fill it with water and he'll lap from it.
There was a what if, Mason, from the Age of Apocalypse era in 2006. Where Captain America became the leader of the Defenders, which was that reality's the Avengers,
uh-huh.
alongside Logan, Captain Britain, who had Iron Man's armor, Brother Voodoo.
Yeah, Brother Voodoo.
Colossus.
He's now Dr. Voodoo.
Oh,
he's
okay.
the current Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, yeah. Colossus, the Thing, who has a prosthetic arm, Molecule Man, Sauron.
Oh, he's like a pterodactyl man.
He's not a big eye?
No, he's not a big eye. He's a green pterodactyl man. I think he wears underpants.
Great.
He's like a Fin Fan Foom kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's got underpants on.
And Nate Summers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming is the son or daughter.
Oh, which one is Nate Summers again?
Scott Summers.
Yeah, hang on.
Oh, he's from the future.
He's X-Man.
Okay.
I think, maybe.
He just took the name
he's
X-Man.
He's a version of X-Man.
Okay,
I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
In this reality, this is what I thought was the interesting part. Captain America no longer wears a mask. That's not interesting, but he does wield the shield and Thor's hammer. So it turns out he's worthy.
He is worthy, that's true. Yeah. Other people are worthy in altered dimension. I think Storm is worthy.
Yeah.
To lift Captain America, to lift Thor's hammer.
Chris Hemsworth's worthy, but yes. He's the only Hemsworth who is worthy.
Yeah. Sometimes what they do is when they're hanging out in like their pad in like they got like a pad in Miami or something like that.
They got
that.
A sweet
and
LA
what,
pad.
What Chris Hemsworth will do is he'll put like a the latest issue of Us Weekly on the coffee table and he'll put the hammer on top of it. And he'd be like, hey, can you pass me... And Liam will come in and be like, oh, it's the new Us Weekly. And he'll try to lift the hammer,
but
he can't do it.
And the other Hemsworth brother comes in,
yep.
But I don't know his name.
Chad Hemsworth.
Christopher Lee Hemsworth.
Chris, yes.
So, yeah, there you go.
J.D. Salinger, Chris Hemsworth.
If you have anything else to say about that?
Nah.
Particular thing, cool. In the Spider-Ham comic books, Mason.
Correct.
There's a funny animal version of Captain America called Steve Mouser. He's an anthropomorphic cat who works for the Daily Beagle and is also, secretly, Captain AmeriCat.
Yes, he is. Thank you.
I know you love the Spider-Ham universe.
I love funny animals.
Yeah.
I love the whole deal.
That's
man.
It.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oddly, we've talked. Spider-Ham is not a... He's not a pig.
No.
He's a spider who was bitten by a pig and then became a pig. Like, he gained the appearance of a pig. With spider powers.
Not pig powers?
No.
He has some pig powers, I'd imagine.
He's got that snout. That fine snout of his.
Sure. Did you hear they just announced a Spider-Man comic book series that's going to incorporate every Spider-Man from every universe?
How do you mean?
Every Spider-Man.
Yeah, no, I get universe. That. I understand words. I understand the words.
How are they bringing it together? I don't know, dimension, some shit. Maybe they all touch an artifact in their own dimension.
Is this a shattered dimension? Is this a mini-series?
Yeah, something like that.
Is it a shattered dimension style thing?
I started to play that game.
How'd that go?
Not good.
Huh.
Not good. Because give me the proper web swinging.
Yeah.
Don't put me in a corridor. What the hell is wrong with you? Mason.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I got some Captain America trivia, Mason.
I'm ready.
Before we leave it for the day. Bit of a mishmash. In 1941, Captain America, the first issue, sold nearly 1 million copies. But not everybody was happy with it, Mason.
I wasn't, certainly.
It got a storm of hate mail from American Nazis.
Of course it did.
Now, the Captain America Now, comic number one, is one of the world's most valuable comics. If you got a near mint one, Mason,
yep.
With very little foxing,
mm-hmm.
That'll get you around $115,000. At the time, it cost 10 cents, which at the time was about 4,000 euro.
Correct, yes.
So there you go. Marvel's first African-American superhero, the Falcon, was introduced in Captain America. So that was their first one. He donned the Falcon guise at the urging of Steve Rogers, and he was also the first African superhero without the word black in his name.
There we go, yeah. And that trend continues. There's still
it's
so many.
They still do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It was also the Stan Lee's first published work was a Captain America book in the 40s.
Yep.
And he also invented the shield throw.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
No, he invented throwing members of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So sure, okay.
Captain America hasn't always been Captain America. He's been disillusioned with America numerous times.
Yep.
Including during Watergate, he became the Nomad.
Yeah.
In the 90s, he became...
Which is another character that's been passed along.
Yeah, to who?
Well, the crazy Bucky from the 50s became Nomad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he was extreme 90s Nomad.
I bet he was.
Everyone drink.
What was I going to say? He became the captain in the
90s? Also, he carried like a... He had a kid who he carried in like a backpack.
Bucky did?
Yeah, Nomad.
Oh, right.
Nomad.
Okay, there you go.
He just had a kid in like a baby Bjorn. Just carried it around sometimes.
Fighting crumb, the baby in your backpack.
Yeah, sometimes, I think.
That seems really dangerous.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
He became the captain in the 90s. Mm-hmm. A similar kind of disillusionment with the government.
Uh-huh.
He also became the president in the Ultimate Universe, the Ultimates Universe.
Oh.
So there you go. So he's had many roles, Mason, over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like the Barbie of the Marvel Universe. He can be anything he wants. He can be President Steve Rogers. He can be Homemaker Steve Rogers. He can be architect, Steve Rogers.
Oh, imagine.
Yeah. Comic book artist, Steve Rogers. He's done that. Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah, he's an artist.
That's amazing. Yeah. He can do it all. Mm. In the movie,
Malibu, Steve Rogers.
In the movie, Mason, it said that he's a founding member of the Avengers, but actually in the comics, well, you know, because that movie is famously called The First Avenger.
Yep.
Captain America was unfrozen in Avengers 4, and he was accidentally discovered when the team was looking for Namor, the Submariner.
Mm.
So what do you think of that?
Good. I'm in favor of it.
In 1985, this is the last fact, Mason, there was a Captain America musical in the works. The casting ad featured Captain America dancing with a top hat and cane. So that's what happened in the 80s between the 1979 Captain America and the 1990 Captain America.
I'm glad that I know now. What? What? How?
Well, it didn't happen, so
yeah.
I guess we can be thankful for that. But we did get Spider-Man Turn Off the Duck.
That's true, yeah. What precedent was that?
That's the spiritual sequel.
I like to think so, yeah.
What?
How did that come about? Why did people think Captain America needs a musical?
Well, the 80s kind of had it. There was a weird superhero push, but most of them are terrible.
Oh, yeah, good point. So yeah, might as well try a musical, yeah.
Yeah, whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
People would be grasping at anything, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything. Anything at all. Now, Mason, I've got a question for you.
I'm ready.
The character of Captain America has become in and out of favour over the years.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think he's become such a long-lasting character? Let's delve into this.
Probably
and by that, I mean, let's just really skip over this quickly.
Yeah, let's just skim it real quick. Boy, unchecked patriotism.
Sure.
That's probably it.
Initially.
Yeah.
Sure, but...
He punched Hitler that time?
Yeah, he did. But that's his... You know, he put... Because I know people have to take issues with the American government and whatever, so I'd say that's probably why he fell out of favour for a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he's... I mean, do you think it was the Ed Brubaker's kind of run that made him kind of...
Well, that certainly made him... A character again.
Yeah.
It's made him a worthwhile character again, probably.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think editors must like him.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think what works for me in it anyway.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're not American, right?
You're from New York though, aren't you?
That's what I am.
Yeah.
I try to cover my New York accent with this horrible Australian accent. But the sincerity of him I like. I like my superhero. Maybe call me old-fashioned, Mason. Uh-huh. Call me it. I'd fucking dare you.
What?
I like the old-fashioned superheroes.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like your Superman, and I like your kind of Captain America, because they've been given these kind of powers, and they can pretty much do whatever they want. Uh-huh. Captain America, obviously, less so, because he's really just a man. But it's his sense of morality and, you know, what he decides to fight for. And
fair play.
Yeah, fair play, all those kind of things that I really, really enjoy. I also really enjoy he'll hit someone really hard with a shield.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah.
I think that for me is why I like Captain America. Because
uh-huh.
I'm sure growing up I was like, "Boo, Captain America, boo." Uh-huh. I like Extreme Wolverine or whatever.
Yeah.
I like Wolverine, he's fine. But I think that's why I like him.
Okay.
And because he's pretty handsome.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah. And obviously the movie helped.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that.
The 99
Would movie. We be talking about Captain America at all if it weren't for the movie?
No.
Exactly. There you go.
That's a good point. Mm. So, yeah. So, I thought, Mason, for this week's What We Read and What We Gonna Read.
Yep.
Why don't we recommend some Captain America readings? Do you want to go first?
Well, I'm going to recommend, and if you haven't read it, it came out in about 2002, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Truth, Red, White, and Black. And it tells the tale of Isaiah Bradley, who's the black Captain America.
Yeah.
Where it was revealed that in attempting to sort of make a secondary super soldier serum, the US government tested some various chemicals on African American
mm-hmm.
Populations, on African American troops, and everybody dies except one. And it's sort of people might... No, and this is going to get depressing. This is not fun, certainly. There was a very famous experiment that the US government conducted called the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment.
Okay.
Where the US government essentially tricked a whole bunch of rural African American men into thinking they were receiving healthcare and just sort of tested syphilis on them.
Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing that happened, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so I'm against that.
The Weekly Planet podcast is
against giving people syphilis.
Jesus,
and they just sort of watch their community and saw what happened.
What the fuck is wrong with
people? I know. This started in like the 30s.
Yeah.
And like the cure for syphilis came out like in the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
And this experiment continued to like the late 70s.
Holy crap.
Yeah, right? Mid 70s.
Sure.
Early 70s. Well, doesn't matter. Too far. Many years afterwards. It runs parallels to that real world, and it's some very heavy issues, but
it's a good read.
It's a really good read, yeah.
That sounds
great. Yeah, yeah, and as we know, Isaiah Bradley, grandfather of a patriot from the Young Avengers.
I did not know that.
There you go, the more you know.
The more you know.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I'll definitely check that out.
Give that a read.
So read that above the werewolf one. If you had to choose.
Oh, yeah, okay, if you had to choose. Yeah.
Sure. Mm. Well, look, I'm going to recommend then, Mason. Everybody's familiar with the Captain America, Death of Captain America storyline.
Uh-huh.
But there's actually a book, a compendium.
But not everybody's familiar with the Birth of Captain America storyline. It's gross.
A sickly child fired into the world. But basically, there was a compendium called Fallen Son, Death of Captain America by Joseph Loeb.
Yep.
And he wrote the Batman, what was it, the Long Halloween, didn't he?
Oh, yep.
Which is great. Basically, where five different artists take on this five-part story that covers the aftermath of his death, that looks at covers Wolverine, the Avengers, Clint Barton, Hawkeye, who I think actually takes it on at some point, the role in that point, I can't remember, Spider-Man and Iron Man.
He rips the sleeves off, obviously.
He certainly does. So yeah, I think that's a very interesting, it's more of a kind of like a tribute to the character of Captain America. Because at that point, Mason, we weren't sure that he was coming back. We were sure that was a misdirect.
That's, yes, we were very sure because the movie was coming out.
Yeah, so there you go. So I definitely recommend reading that. So either of those two, get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're good at recommending stuff.
We sure are, Mason.
We're the best.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, Mason, no shout-outs this week.
Correct.
It's been
a busy week.
It's been a very busy week, so I apologize for that, and the podcast is stretching.
We should mention, though, our friends the Haydens.
Yes.
They had their baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Justin Hayden, Stephanie Hayden, and decided to name their baby...
Connor.
Patrick Razal Gugu Hayden.
Thank you.
Which was your recommendation.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah.
And a second update, which I enjoyed very much. Do you remember Jose Peralta?
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Who, he dressed as Spider-Man?
He did dress as Spider-Man. No! You're thinking of the other guy who dressed as Spider-Man for Comic-Con.
Yep.
So Jose Peralta asked the girl to prom.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it worked.
And it did.
Ballsy
and he
move.
Did it. Ballsy move. He did it.
Yep. Champion.
Everybody should do that.
Yep.
Don't do it.
No, don't.
It's a one in a million shot.
He's got that certain something.
He certainly does.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. Look, I just want to quickly explain the reason why we can't do shout-outs this week, because I didn't have a lot of time to get them together this week, and we got something of 50-plus emails.
Uh-huh.
I cannot shout out 50 emails in an episode. It's impossible. So what we're going to do possibly every week is pick out two or three kind of big ones.
The cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop, and we're going to go with that. And any, like, I'll try and mention people who have suggestions for things and opinions on stuff throughout the show as well, which I've sort of been doing, which I kind of failed this episode to do, but I think I did one at the start, so there you go.
That's right.
So, yeah. But Daniel Quiroz and John Clayton, they sent us a BuzzFeed article about all the horrific things that happened in Australia, like snakes eating crocodiles and spiders the size of your face and all sorts
like
of shit.
Like the top 25 horrific things in Australia.
Yeah. Now, because we're from Melbourne, Mason, we don't see a lot of that, do we?
I've had like 9 of them happen to me. So,
really?
Yeah.
So what would you say? Do you have any like stories relating to horrific monster animals that we have here? Bear in mind, the stuff that kills you here, it's not really, it's mostly not big stuff. It's just little poisonous stuff.
Yeah, it's ticks and stuff. Spiders. White-tail spider.
Yeah, though they've never killed anyone.
Yeah.
True story.
Hmm.
But yeah, you got anything in particular, like a spider's fallen on your face?
Hit a kangaroo with my car once. But it was like, it jumped right out in front of me, and I'd slowed down to like 5 kilometers an hour, and I just sort of tapped it, and it looked at me puzzled, and it walked away. It hopped away. That's what kangaroos do.
Man.
But they're indestructible.
They are. I know multiple people who they have fucked up their cars on a kangaroo. Because they move around, they move dawn and dusk.
Yes.
And they can't see shit.
Right.
And they'll just jump. It's weird. They'll wait until your car's near the road. They'll panic. And then they'll run across.
Yeah,
and just get
the car.
Cleaned up.
Yeah, yeah.
I've nearly hit one multiple times, but I've never actually hit one.
And apparently, like, the worst thing you can do is hit it at speed. Because apparently what they'll do is they'll crash through your windscreen into the car. And they're big and they're dense. And they'll panic and they'll
they're
just start kicking.
They're pure
and
muscle.
And they'll just start kicking.
Yeah.
And you're dead, mate.
My uncle had a dog. The kangaroo kicked it open.
Wow.
Kicked it right open.
Yeah. Because they've got sharp little claws.
They've got sharp little claws. Because they can balance.
Big claws.
Big claws. My brother, my older brother, is obsessed with this particular kangaroo, which I can't remember what he calls it. But he,
nemesis.
It's his nemesis, yeah. We go for runs or walks in this particular park. We take our dogs. It's a delightful experience.
Uh-huh.
And there's this one kangaroo that is just, it looks like it's jacked. Like, it is
like it's worked out like a mad dog.
Enormous, like a mad dog. Uh-huh. Like, shoulders like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
It is the Arnold Schwarzenegger of kangaroos.
Wow.
So, yeah. Don't touch kangaroos unless you're in a petting zoo. And even then, they still could kick the shit out of you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A friend of mine a while back had, like, a birthday thing. And it was out in, like, some sort of... It was way out in the sticks. And it was kind of like... it was like on this... They'd hide out, this Christian Brothers property.
Sure.
Just to use that for a while. But because it was on public... Because it's on privately owned property.
Yeah.
Like, it's not listed on any GPS kind of things. So... Like, I got to, like, a GPS... I was trying to find it, and I got to this GPS dead zone where I didn't know where I was, and it was, like, 1 a.m., and I'm trying to get to this place, and it's total darkness. There's no lighting on the street, and it's all these little... This maze of this weird... And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to get it. I'll set my... You know, I'll get out in the middle of the road, and I'll just... there's nobody around. I'll open the door, get out, and I'll just get my torch out, and I'll look around for street names.
Sure.
And I got out... Like the engine going and the headlights on, and I get out and I look around.
And Captain America stole your car.
Yeah, that's right. And I look left and I look right, and then I look back and I realize there were like 6 kangaroos just standing around, like real big ones. And it's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Because I'm
yeah.
lost and I'm late.
And they just pouted fists and like, bad timing, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. You picked the wrong Christian Brothers neighborhood to end up in.
My There's
not as many kangaroos as you'd think.
No, there's not. Especially not where we live. We have foxes and shit as well, which are introduced. But all the real dangerous stuff is up north. As you know, I used to live up north in a very, very remote town briefly for a year. It was a nightmare, as you're well aware.
I'm aware.
But it was beautiful in the sense that it was very remote and whatever. But you couldn't... There was water everywhere because it was on the coast. But you couldn't swim... Because of the amount of crocodiles and sharks that were out there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to take a fishing boat out every weekend. And so there were a lot of local guys there, like indigenous guys, and they had no problem with it. They just go in the water. But you could see the crocs in the water.
Uh-huh.
And you could see just the heads. And for anyone who's never seen a crocodile, they're terrifying. And they're basically... All the dinosaurs were wiped out and whatever, except for the crocodiles.
That we know about.
That's right.
You.
And they're just... They're pure... All that instinct is to just kill anything that basically comes across it. And you see the heads in the water. So if the one who was at this particular spot, the boat launching ramp, the head was a meter long. But that means that it's five times the length of the head.
Right.
So this croc was 5-6 meters long.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so every week we take this boat out, and you'd have to take the boat out waist deep into the water to launch it, to get it going and get it set up. And I'd be standing waist deep in the water with a mate of mine who was there. He's a great, great guy, Andrew. I think he listens to the show. Hello, Andrew. Great bloke. And shitting myself every week, because you never get used to that.
Uh-huh.
The local's like, it's fine. I'm like, it's not fine. I can literally see a crocodile, and these things can swim like you fucking could not believe. They're like, you see one, it goes down in the water. It could be on you in like 3 seconds.
Uh-huh.
They're ridiculous. I fucking hate crocodiles.
Wow.
In addition to that...
That's your vendetta.
That's my vendetta.
Crocodiles.
I just hate them. They spook me right out. But I'm like, why do you swim in here? The local guys. And like, it's fine. They go, well, what's your trick? And they go, you know what you do? Whenever you feel like there's a crocodile, you get out of the water. I'm like... That's ridiculous. That's not anything.
Right.
You're not magic. Don't tell me this. That's nonsense.
Mm.
So, yeah. Hate Australian animals.
Right. Yeah, that's the point, yeah.
Yeah.
That we're trying to make here.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the show for this week, Mason.
I love it.
So, anything that you want to plug?
Nah. Comedy Festival's still going.
Sure.
Go and see some shows if you're in Melbourne.
Any you would recommend?
Nah, they're all pretty good.
Just all of them.
Just take a punt.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to be seeing some shows, Mason. You know that.
Yes.
You know that. Next week, Mason, we will discuss in depth Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Oh,
I'm actually seeing it tonight. It's on the Sunday. I'm very excited.
Mm.
And then from there, we'll do a spoiler-free half and a spoiler half.
Yeah.
Not in that order.
Yep.
So, yeah. Man. Please come back and check that out.
Excellent. It's going to be great.
Or don't. Oh,
you can't listen wait to that Captain now? America.
Yeah. When are you seeing it?
Well, when it comes out.
You're a real dickhead, Mason.
I know. I'm busy, man.
I paid $50 for this ticket.
I know you did.
It's ridiculous. Because they're like, you get a free this and that. I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that. You could have just given me for $20.
Mm.
I don't want your weird plushie in your poster.
Oh, you get a plushie.
Yeah.
Captain America plushie?
You can't have it.
Winter Soldier
now plushie. Now that you want it, I want it.
Yeah. Is it a Winter Soldier plushie?
No.
Oh. I don't want it then. You can have it.
No, you can have it. I don't want it.
I don't want it. Okay, I'll take it.
No!
Oh. Oh, all the contact details and such.
Oh yeah, shit.
Thanks to Gabriel Bruton for the thing.
Song, we love it. If you want to get in contact, if you cream of the crop and you get mentioned on the show, that means you're real something special.
We'll send you a plushie. We won't. They're ours. You can't have them.
Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook, email, Gmail, and Twitter.
That's the one.
My personal Twitter is at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Mine's at Wikipedia Brown.
Hit us up.
Yeah,
we love
please
it.
Do.
We Would love you? It every yeah. time.
I'm interacting with people.
I noticed that.
Feels real good. I'd forgotten what that was like, interacting with people in life.
Do you love it, or is it a burden?
That's fun.
Cool. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Shoot us an email for whatever. Or if you want to check out the Bandcamp thing, please do. Spider-Man one's coming up as well soon, Mason. Our Spider-Man commentary track.
I cannot wait. I can wait. Let's do it now. I'm so hungover.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.